Right, the board of the hearing, or reconvene the hearing. Donald, are you appearing for Mr. Gibbons, Amy?
Yes, Mr. and Mrs. Hatson, yes, I am. Yes. I've got some legal submissions here, which aren't too long or convoluted, and also the summaries of the evidence. I do have with me this morning Mr. Gibbons, and he's the owner of 18 McDonald Street. Mr. Hanson has filed a state statement of evidence, and he's the owner of 18D McDonald Street, and he's not available today. His evidence is more of background setting the scene in terms of the land development. So if you're very Mr. Buckman is also here. He is the owner of 10 McBride Street. And he isn't prepared any evidence, but in case there may be some questions that arise, he's here to answer those. And Mr. Gillies, any evidence for Mr. Buckman? Just turning to my legal submissions, just dealing with the extent of the rezoning, it's now been confined to 1618, 18B, and 20 McBride Street. And I've set out there at paragraph 2 the current uses that are occurring on those sites. 16 McBride Street is the dental surgery and commercial activities occurring, 18 McBride Street office activity, that's where Mr. Gibbons operates his business from. 18B McBride Street, current use is residential but with an active consent commercial for office activity. And 20 McBride Street, current use is residential, however, an application is currently in process for office activity on that site. And Mr. Gibbons, office has prepared that application. The existing businesses operating from the sites have been in existence since 2004 and 2006 in this location. So far as neighbours of the sites are concerned, the sites are bounded to the west or the lake side by McBride Street, to the east by the Frankton Bus Terminal, the north by the council unformed parking space areas, and just noting there they are proposed to be zoned local shopping centre zone and the PDP is notified. And to the south, the boundary shared with the residential site of 22 McBride Street. The evidence convincingly in my submission establishes, and it's not challenged by the council, the complete lack of residential person on these sites. At least since 2011, the traffic movement through the neighbouring transport hub has steadily increased in both frequency and extended hours of operation. The current noise associated with vehicle movement of people waiting at the bus terminal area has significantly diminished the residential community of the immediate area. And noise is also an issue from increased airport operations. Turning to the local shopping centre zone, the submission seeks that zoning, and I say the opening sentence to the purpose of the zone. It's quite pertinent. It provides that the local shopping centre zone enables small-scale commercial and business activities in discrete pockets of land that are accessible to residential areas and people in transit. That, in my submission, is particularly an apt description of the location of these sites. They are a discrete pocket of land accessible to residential areas and people in transit, and the range of activities currently occurring is of small-scale commercial and business. It's not a case of seeking to extend the zones by jumping the street, if you like. 14 McBride Street, the council site, is the site's northern neighbour and is to be zoned local shopping centre zone. With respect to the authors of the council reports, the flavour and direction of the zone purpose seems to have been overlooked, both in terms of the significance of the effects they say the rezoning will have on the residential environment, and that must include the receiving environment, and with respect to impacts on transport and car parking. Ms. Evans and her rebuttal evidence is critical of the proposal to introduce specific bulk and location standards intended to address the transition between the shopping centre and residential zone She offers the view that this in itself indicates there are potential adverse effects on residential amenity from the rezoning, and further she doesn't favour these types of bespoke provisions in the plan. Providing for such a transitional buffer is, however, anticipated in the objective and policy framework for the zone. Objective 15.2.2 addresses buildings responding to existing character, quality and amenity values of their neighbourhood setting, while policy 15.2.4 anticipates placing specific controls on the bulk and location of building on sites adjoining residential zone properties to ensure that an appropriate standard of residential amenity is maintained. The most appropriate zone. The evidence for the submittance is that the proposed low-density zoning is not appropriate, does not reflect the current usage of the majority of the sites, and takes no account of the complete lack of residential amenity within this part of the zone. It's submitted there is a lack of any meaningful analysis to support Ms. Evans' views on retaining the low-density zone over the sites. The evidence for the submitter undertakes a comparative analysis of low-density versus local shopping centre zone. Mr. Geddes' evidence is to the effect that based on the modelling, the bulk and location of any building on land contained within the extended zone would be very similar to that which could be achieved with the low-density zoning. And Mr. Giddens notes that built form presently occupying the site has only a third, some 300 square metres, of that which could be undertaken pursuant to the operative zone rules. Of relevance to the consideration of the appropriateness of the zone are the amendments proposed by Mr. Geddes to provide for the front yard setback to give effect to policies 15.221 and 15.224. The proposed 4.5 metre setback facilitates the placement of built development back from the road as opposed to that which would otherwise be provided by the shopping centre zone, thereby facilitating landscaping and pedestrian amenities in the front yard. And I should just also mention there as well the proposal for the 4.5 metre yard setback along the boundary with 22 McBride Street. Mr. Geddes' evidence is that built form will thus not appear dominant, and it will complement the existing pattern of development and amenity values on the lake side of McBride Street. Ms. Evans confirms that the amendments proposed by Mr. Geddes will assist in mitigating effects on residential amenity, however considers they won't mitigate the effect of potential increase in intensity on the sites. It's not clear from her rebuttal what she means by this, and I note that the shopping centre rules in respect of retail and office activities cap gross floor areas at 300 metres square for retail and 200 metres square for office activities. Just turning to traffic, the evidence that's to be given by Mr. Bartlett and Mr. Giddens is that the enhancements to the roading network recently completed have been successful in reducing traffic congestion. Mr. Bartlett considers that the rezoning will have minimal impact on local transport, the local transport network as a result of traffic and car parking. Commercial land needs. The evidence again for the submitters is that whilst rezoning of the sites will provide some additional capacity towards the demand for business land, that will be insignificant given that the fact the sites already contain existing commercial uses which will not be displaced but rather enabled by the zoning. The rezoning is more akin to infill development, utilising discrete pockets of land rather than opening up a new greenfield site for commercial development. Section 32, Mr. Geddes has completed this evaluation in his evidence from Section 6. Submitted the most appropriate design for the site is local shopping centre zone. Residential use of the land is fundamentally at odds with the neighbouring passenger transport related activities. The airport and the bus terminal both are set to expand and grow. The zone enables and provides for a diverse range of activities to occur to serve the needs of the local community, as is consistent with the zone's purpose, and retaining the low density zone is an inefficient use of land resources, contrary to the Act and the Policy Plan. Those are my submissions. Sir, happy to answer any questions.
So, in terms of the direction inclusive zoning provides for residential development, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Above ground. Above where the buildings.
And from the memory, I'm just checking, there's no density limit.
Not that I can recall, no.
So there could be more than one residential unit on each site above ground level?
Yes.
What I'm trying to do is get a handle on what exactly it is that is sought. Is it what is sought is provision for offices type development on these three sites? Or is it a zoning which allows any number of activities to establish in the future?
I might actually have Mr. Giddens answer that question. My understanding, at least anyway, is that the submitters want the flexibility of what the zone provides. Well, of course, at the moment, the use predominantly is for commercial offices, although you've got the dental surgery, which is the service activity. I suppose in terms of residential use, it may be desirable in the future if the sites are redeveloped to provide for some residential activity above ground for either for staff or potentially some custodial groups or what have you. But we do want to comment.
Not to go into that a little bit further, there's no intent to have residential development as a focus as part of that zone. And that's taken into account what the QAC submission states as well. They don't want to get any further activity sensitive vehicles as part of the zoning change, and that very much calls for what we're seeking as part of the zone. So if there was a bespoke restriction that said no more than one residential unit per site, I don't think that would be a problem with that perspective. And it gives a little clarity and certainty as to what we're seeking from that local shopping zone.
Given that the evidence is so highly directed as to how adverse the environment is for residential activity, is it even acceptable to allow one residential unit per site?
My original submission was actually focused on local corner shopping zone and with alternative high density, medium density as another form of use. And the only reason I really would be comfortable with those types of uses and as even a small scale residential as part of a commercial use of the property, is the fact that it would be like a custodial use, rather than say in part of a commercial zone. So you've had workers living upstairs as part of the activity.
We're not talking big sites though, is that?
No.
That's a home occupation. What you're talking about there, you can do that as a right under the values of the residential zone.
Yes, that's correct.
Mm.
But it does allow that flexibility. If there was one residential unit per site, that they wouldn't have to be custodial. But I'm just thinking in terms of what would practically occur, that's probably quite a likely outcome.
So the one, just following up, the one residential unit per site will reflect the existing situation.
In terms of residential density, yes. In terms of configuration of the site and the buildings, no, because each of those buildings are, well, if you look at 18, that's 1970s, 20s, there's 1911, that's constructed. They're all older buildings, so they have deficiencies if you're trying to use them for home occupations as well as commercial use at the same time.
But they could revert to residential.
They could. I think that'd be very unlikely, particularly given that if you look at 16, that's been operational since 1998.
But shouldn't that move out? Because somebody wants to redevelop the site. Somebody that's prison zone, that would be.
I think that very limited to be able to do that because of the density provisions and the, I don't want a slightly different plan units here, just my view as I'm here as a landowner, but those density provisions are quite restricted in terms of position of residential development, and it's under the proposed divisions, it's something that's one per 300 site, which actually doesn't allow that much more residential development for that shared system prison.
Thinking of the situation, not wanting to lock in residential development, to having to make a resource consent every time they want to. Every residential owner is having to make a resource consent every time they want to make a small operation or something.
Well, this is specifically our situation now. With my most recent resource consent for 18, the price stream was to increase the number of occupants that I can have there working on the site. So every time I do a variation,
occupied as a house.
All right, Mr. Gibbs is going to go first and hand it up his summary statement.
This is paragraph one. One of it is achieved that aligns my interest in respect to the Queenstown and adhering to the proposed plan. And I just want to make it clear from the outset of providing waivers as a planner like I would in my local capacity. And just also want to point out that it has been a little bit difficult for me in that instance, given what I use my site for, how long I've lived there. And I'm very familiar with this plan and environment and how it's changed over the years, even from the proposed plan back in 98. But I'm trying my best there. Waivers is based on the request that the property is located at 16, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, line, even if it's achieved, which is in paragraph 6.1. And there's a typo there where it refers to 70 square metres, where that should be 50 square metres. That's related to the area of space that it uses for home, between and Bright Street, as not residential space. Summary of my evidence outlines that my property at 18 McBride Street, 16 and 18B are consented and non-compliant commercial activities. With the exception of number 20, these properties have already approved commercial activities with no residential component. The degree and nature of commercial use that would reasonably eventuate from the change to local corner shopping zone would not adversely impact on the town centres. And as an aside, I estimate that if the sites were redeveloped to the maximum extent of the zones, the difference in floor area between the local corner shopping zone and low density residential zone will be around 700 to 1200 square metres over the four sites. The views and outlooks of residential properties in the surrounding area will not be impacted by the redevelopment of the sites. None of the neighbours have opposed my rezoning request. The effects can be managed through the existing planning provisions of the local corner shopping zone, controlling bulk and location, activities, noise, landscaping, and car parking, such that the wider residential area is not compromised by the other. The bespoke rules recently interfaced in 2022 with Bright Street has merit in my view, such as a specific building setback in addition to the existing position plate requirement of the zone. So in addition, I'd just like to advise the panel that the council has approved the resource consent RN 170556, which enables the full use of my property for commercial activities up to 6 full-time staff engaged in the activity and reside on site, and that's with no residential component. And with the pending approval of 20 McBride Street, the QLC will have authorised 31 full-time equivalent staff that are engaged in commercial activities that do not reside on the four sites at 16, 18, 18, 18, 20 McBride Street. Mr. John Hall from the QAC has provided a rebuttal which opposes any additional increase in activity sensitive analysts. The relief sought will not result in this outcome, and likely activities will not fall within this definition in the proposed plan. And notwithstanding this, any new buildings will have to abide by acoustic insulation and ventilation requirements. A number of changes have been made to the traffic configuration in and around Franklin since my evidence was lodged. I'm not sure how the degree that each of these changes have had, but traffic environment on the Rye Street has changed considerably, with a very noticeable reduction in traffic levels. I've had the benefit of experience of traffic around 8 hours each day, and can comment on this as a personal experience. I've listened to the recordings from the 26th of July with the questions and reply from PLC staff. There was, from what I understand, an incorrect response in regard to what level of permitted office activities can be undertaken within the low density residential zone, which needs to be clarified. There were also comments from the panel regarding the possible retention of the existing buildings. In my opinion, this would lead to negative impacts and a number of long-term inefficiencies. The existing build form is also much less than what is anticipated in the current low density residential zone, which can be increased as a control activity. I've undertaken a general comparative analysis of what the low density residential zone and local moderate shopping zone provides for in terms of build form and conversion activity, as well as a comparison against what's been considered by the QLDC. I anticipate that redevelopment of the properties would provide for a reasonable number of car parks, and that this would have an impact on the overall building coverage, making the 75% maximum building coverage under the local moderate shopping zone relatively difficult to achieve. The resulting level of commercial activity, in my view, to be inconsequential to the wider context of Queenstown and Franklin commercial areas. Just as a final point, I note that the building coverage of the existing buildings on four sites is less than half as what is permitted under the low density residential zone, which is approximately 440 square metres compared with roughly 970 square metres. And I just point out there that Ms. McDonald's legal submissions had quite a prior population, which was 300 square metres, which I've revised. So this is the correct for them.
Goodness, I did want to hear a bit about the bus stop. And I'm going to ask Mr. Bartlett too, whether or not there's sufficient land for its purpose.
I get
that you get the noise. I've been to see it, and I didn't get what happens there.
The bus stop was upgraded in 2006, or certainly 2006, and it used to be just the bus shelter. And when they upgraded it, it was equipped with two berths with tour facilities, and it opened up for commercial use as well. When I say commercial use, that's the plush tours and the like, the up stop. In 2012, Chris Hanson and I had first discussions with QLDC and NZTA about the use of our sites, including 20, as a potential bus hub in the future. And the reason for that is because we see the congestion of the traffic and things get escalating and getting worse. And we probably pushed those discussions through for about the last 3 or 4 months, and really it's about on deaf ears. And I read the council planning comments saying that the ETA's got no interest in expanding the bus hub. And so from a personal experience of living there and seeing the traffic, and also Chris's as well, I think it's a little bit short sighted, and that's the benefit of the commercial zone next to that bus hub, which doesn't indicate that the bus hub could be expanded into it, but it would at least provide a more complementary zone than a residential zone, which has obviously got in conflict with any growth in the area.
Yeah, I was just sort of puzzling in my mind about if the local shopping centre zoning was applied, how do you do the development? And naturally, you'd have it fronting the road, the main road, State Highway, and the bus thing, and have the traffic coming in from the Bride Street.
You'd almost have a back end onto the Bride Street.
Yes, exactly. The back end of it would face the Bride Street. So the question, not for you because you're not the planner, but the question would be what sort of amenity result would that be? Yeah. But I was just kind of speculating in my mind how this would work. So thank you.
Thank you. you know, I don't think it's the unfortunate that we've seen heavily buy-in at least from the council and the ZTA on the proposition. So that's really important that.
So I think everything else I understood, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Barbas, can you join us now?
Experience and qualifications relative to this evidence in respect to the Queenstown mapping hearings of the proposed district plan. Since preparation of my evidence in chief, I've also reviewed the rebuttal evidence of Ms. Wendy Banks for QLDC. I note the submission of Hanson and Heddens now relates to the extension of the proposed Lockton shopping centre zone to include 16, 18, 18B and 20 McBride Street. I've then listed out what those general activities are, which I think Mr. Giddens has just covered for you. So I'll continue at paragraph 5. It's noted that the majority of these properties are operating, two of, or approved to operate, one of currently, within the range of commercial activities which would be enabled by the proposed zone change. It is therefore considered the traffic and parking anticipated by the proposed zone change is already or accepted within the local road network. Ms. Banks and her rebuttal evidence considers that McBride Street is a residential street. This is not the case. McBride Street is an arterial road which should be managed to provide an efficient transport link between different parts of the district. At present, McBride Street is being managed more akin to a collector road with managed parking, speed humps and narrow traffic lane. The current management of McBride Street is relevant. The current arrangement causes congestion as drivers navigate oncoming vehicles and facilitate passing amongst parked vehicles. If the road is managed as an arterial road by removing speed humps and parking on one side of the road, congestion along the route will be removed. Now that Hawthorne Drive, the eastern access road, and Franklin Roundabout improvements, State Highway 6 and 6A, have been completed, a significant amount of congestion and delay have been removed from the local roading network. NZTA have plans to dual lane the portion of State Highway 6 between the Airport Roundabout and Grant Road Roundabout, as well as increasing capacity of the Franklin Road Roundabout, that's State Highway 6A. The improvements are anticipated to greatly increase the capacity and remove congestion from the adjacent state highway network. The site is well located to benefit from good alternative transport connections to other residential and commercial areas of the district. It is in my opinion that these alternative transport options would reduce dependence on private car and reduce potential traffic effects from on-site activities enabled by the proposed zone change. I consider that the project recently undertaken by NZTA and QLDC have reduced traffic congestion adjacent to the site. With the reduced area of the rezone, including a majority of sites already operating as commercial activity, I consider that the impacts on the local road, local transport network, traffic and parking will be minimal.
In paragraph 5, you say that the traffic and parking anticipated by the proposed zone change is already there, effectively.
Yes.
So the traffic and parking would be exactly the same as retail activities on those sites, would it?
No. I think, you know, it comes down to what the anticipated uses are, and
Well, no, it comes down to what illicit uses are.
Yeah, okay. But I suppose it depends on the type of retail as well. If it's a corner shop or there's a high traffic demand, whereas if it's a smaller sort of homeware type shop, you might find there's a very small
liquor store seems to be the most popular shop in this district.
And I suppose there's already one just along the road, so why not put one here? Yeah, I think you're right. There is a, I think the thing is that there is a range of traffic generating activities that you'd expect to see in a corner shopping zone, but I don't necessarily think that all of them are going to be high traffic generators. There will be a mixture of low traffic generators as well. So at this stage, you know, the, for instance, a dental surgery has probably two trips. I don't know how many surgery, how many practitioners are there. So let's say they've got two, three practitioners.
Mm.
That's two, three times two. You know, we're talking 8 to 10 vehicle movements per half hour.
Mm.
So, you know, it's starting to get right up there as far as the traffic generator anyway.
Well, that's on one side. So if there were three doctors, three dental surgeries, or three doctor surgeries.
Yes. Yeah, they could. So, for instance,
the
medical centre. Yeah.
So what I'm trying to understand then is your comment is that the traffic environment is already as it would be, and you've just told us that it could actually increase.
Well, I think what I'm saying is, well, I know what I'm saying is the fact that it would really come down to the overall mix at the end of the day, and not all commercial operations that might be facilitated by this zone change are high traffic generating ones. Some are low traffic generating ones. So I suppose you're right that some could be high, but I suspect that some will also be low, so you're going to end up with a mix that is possibly there or thereabouts similar. And certainly, even if it was significantly higher, looking at the traffic situation around there at the moment and the improvements being undertaken, I don't see that that would be overly restrictive.
Then in the next paragraph, you talk about McBride Street being an arterial road.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the ODP, isn't it?
No, that's in it's the ODP, it's the alternative district. And it's in the real hierarchy, it's an arterial road.
We don't know what it will be in the PDP, do we?
No, we don't. No.
Yeah. Given its formation of speed humps and parking, is there an expectation from a traffic engineer's point of view that it will be classified as an arterial road?
I would doubt it, because there's an arterial road right beside it and parallel to it, to be perfectly honest. To me, it seems like an anomaly that it was ever included as an arterial road, considering you've got the state highway, which undoubtedly is an arterial road right beside it. And I suspect that the management of parking and the provision of speed humps is specifically to make it more akin to a collector road. But the downside of that is it causes confusion. It causes congestion as people are trying to navigate along that road, and that was quite evident when the Frankton Road roundabout was under capacity and before the Eastern Access Road was operating.
Okay. Now, paragraph 8, I'm just wondering there when you say that the site is well located to benefit from alternative transport connections. Is it? Are these sites any different in that sense from the rest of the large area, which is zoned local shopping centre zone adjoining, which extends all the way to Kensington Road and a good way down State Highway 6A?
Not entirely, but there's no pedestrian networks, no crossing facilities over State Highway 6A, other than at some stage a signalised crossing that will happen very close to the McBride Street intersection. But that's not there yet. It's part of the current plan that never went in. I'm not too sure why not.
Was that part of NZTA's improvement, which
is
quite...
Yes, because I did a safety audit on that project, so I saw the plans at the end of design, and I can't recall that we had a safety issue with the signals there, so I don't see why they haven't gone in, but that's, you know, by the by. It does set up a reasonably good crossing, though, even without the signal, but that's the only crossing, so that's sort of towards Queenstown from the roundabout.
Yes.
This site here is closer to the crossings over the State Highway 6, which provide access through to the airport and that sort of thing, and that's also the access through the trails network, so therefore it opens up all the way out to Bender Drive and Waikato, all the way out to Calvin, and then that trail network extends down through Franklin Street to the latest site to Queenstown and Calvin Heights. So I think, if anything, this is closer to all that transport network, and particularly the bus station, which is right behind it, than the rest of that zone, but and certainly more easily connected to that greater transport network than the stuff on the other side of the State Highway, State Highway 6 and 6A.
The other question I had is, and it's sort of, we have discussed it. If we were minded to recommend a provision which only provided for office activities on the sites, what sort of change in the traffic effect from what's there at present would arise?
I would suggest it would be very little prospect, given a level already anticipated by the resource consents issued and waiting and applied for at the moment. You know, I think to increase it beyond what's there would require significant construction of buildings, really, to increase the number of employees on site.
Okay.
I don't think that would be able to be jammed into the existing buildings, essentially.
Yes, I just want to follow up with Mr. Butler's line of questions about the configuration of any new buildings, assuming, say, these properties all got developed together. If there's retail or other kind of frontage to the bus stop, where do the vehicles come in?
Well, I think they'll always have to come through McBride Street, right? I would be very hesitant, I think, and my innocent chief, I even said that it would be very unlikely that NZTA would allow access onto the State Highway. They may consider some sort of different bus routing or something, but I suspect they would definitely not allow any access onto the State Highway. I think, you know, given where it is and the approaches to intersections and that sort of thing, I don't know if you
can. Can I say one thing if I may? There's actually a reserve strip between properties and State Highway, in which the bus shelter is partially located within, so to get access.
So it's like a spike strip.
But it's a local purpose reserve, which it basically means that you'd have an approval to access over that, or you get access to the State Highway.
Any chance of using the council car park?
I think it would take some significant negotiating.
Well, I think I'll actually add some clarification that if I may as well. When the resource consent for the dentist was authorised, that the rear parking area actually has a lease agreement with the council to access the rear parking through the council's car park. So that's been put in place as part of that consent.
Provides office access for the offices of commercial activity as well, doesn't it?
That's right.
Yeah. So there is a precedence as well we can take from that.
I'm just trying to figure out where all the vehicles go.
preferably keep them off a residential
All the consents have got on-site parking. I think which would be carried out, which would be required by the operator.
I understand, and I'm saying in the future.
And in the future, I suppose there is some part. It is managed parking on McBride Street. I think it's more generally put in place as two-day parking to manage it, reduce it less for airport uses.
Actually, after running 18 McBride Street, it was changed to short-term parking because of my office use there. They were definitely basically requested that as part of the initial consultation. So between that and the dentist is 2 hour parking, I believe.
So it is possible to also use road control authority powers to restrict parking further, such that it's not viable for employees and things like that. Set up residents, I suppose, but so we have to do that parking.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Do you want to ask any more questions about the size of the bus stop, or?
Are you going to volunteer something over
there? All I would say is it is in that reserve strip, but as the bus infrastructure expands, I believe October, there's new routes to Jack Point, increasing the frequency of use to the Calvin Heights, increasing the frequency of use generally between Queenstown and Frankton and the airport, and probably significant changes to the routes are taking, willing to drive and those sorts of things. I think there will be more buses going through there, and potentially there's a need to extend the active bus stop area so that more buses can go through that area. If it gets too busy, then the right turn from the State Highway could become a problem as well to enter it. So it's just the elements they need to consider when expanding it as well, rather than a definitive answer. It needs to be expanded. I suspect more frequency of use and that sort of thing. More buses are probably through it, but it would need to at least provide more bus stay in this area.
Actually, just to clarify, that reserve is our local purpose reserve for the purposes of parking and bus.
Bus hub or something of those lines is something to that extent. Mr. Yates. Excuse me. Good morning. I have prepared some summary units. QLBC planner, Ms. Blue, given while the bundle events on the 7th of July 2017 in relation to submission 840. Primarily, I'd like to address matters raised in her evidence. Paragraph 3.1 of my primary evidence lists the properties which can constitute the area of the proposed rezoning, and I refer to these as the bus site. The recommended Chapter 15 provisions. In response to paragraph 6.2 of Ms. Evans' evidence, I am reviewing Appendix 4 of my primary evidence. I do need to provide some clarification. My primary evidence recommends three new standards. Attachment A to this evidence correctly sets out these standards and their intended location in Chapter 15. I ask that Attachment A replaces Appendix 4 of my primary evidence. The property to the north of the site at 14 McBride Street is local shopping centre zone, while the low-density residential zone adjoins to the south and extends along the western side of McBride Street. Collectively, the recommended standards seek to limit the bulk and location of any future buildings to ensure a more sympathetic transition from the local shopping centre zone to the established low-density residential zone. The intention of these standards is set out in more detail in Part 5 of my primary evidence, where I need to note that reference to policy in paragraphs 5.1, 3, 4 and 16 should read standard. To support the recommended standards, Appendix 2 of my primary evidence contains images which compare the Bolton location of the proposed district plan low-density residential zone in red and the local shopping centre zone in green, while the proposed district plan local shopping centre zone to the north of the site at 14 McBride Street appears in yellow. A3 copies of these images are contained in attachment B to this evidence. I have provided two additional sheets where the two colours, red and green, have not been overlaid. Paragraph 6.4 of Ms. Evans' evidence suggests that the Bolton location requirements indicate potential adverse effects upon residential amenity from the proposed rezoning, while paragraph 6.6 agrees that these are system mitigating effects on residential amenity. I agree there are potential effects upon residential amenity. I believe these effects will be avoided by the recommended standards contained in attachment A of this evidence. Intensity. Paragraph 6.6 of Ms. Evans' evidence states that proposed amendments do not mitigate the effect of potential increased intensity. I disagree. The recommended setbacks reduce the buildable footprint on the site, while the 8-metre height limit effectively removes one storey. The additional gross floor area associated with the proposed rezoning has been estimated by Mr. Gibbons to be somewhere between 700 and 1200 square metres. Mr. Bartlett has assessed the additional floor area of the proposed rezoning and concludes that the impacts on the local transport network in terms of traffic and parking generation will be minimal. Appendix 3 of my primary evidence locates QLDC water, wastewater and stormwater mains in close proximity to the site, and the submission is not opposed by QLDC's chief engineer, Mr. Ulrich Glasner. Based upon the evidence of Mr. Bartlett and Mr. Glasner, coupled with the recommended standards, I believe any adverse effects from the proposed rezoning in terms of increased intensity are acceptable. Existing low-density residential zone. Paragraph 6.5 of Ms. Evans' evidence contemplates the objectives and policies of the low-density residential zone, existing resource consents, and the existing local shopping centre zone. In response, I refer to part 3 of my primary evidence, which outlines that there is a very low level of residential amenity to be enjoyed from the site, and the resource consents approved have all indicated a departure from residential activities. I believe this suggests that the existing low density residential zone is no longer appropriate. I believe to increase residential density on the site would be met with strong opposition from QAC in terms of activities sensitive to EPRA. The local shopping centre zone adjoins the site to the north. The site is already occupied in part by activities which appear in the local shopping centre zone. I believe the recommended standards ensure existing residential amenity, and subject to these, proposed rezoning is a logical choice. I do not consider the additional 700 to 1200 square metres of floor space to compromise the viability of the existing local shopping centre zone.
Section 32 analysis where I was looking at the options and that to increase to go to a high density residential zone would have been met with a strong opposition from the QRC. Mm. The QRC, I would presume.
So in your attachment A, those are the standards that you're recommending.
Correctly.
They typically only relate to the bulk location, and they were chosen for what to say is a transition from the local shopping centre zone, which is on the northern side of the site, to reflect the residential Bolton location somewhat across the site to get to the existing residential on the western across the road, and also on the adjoining southern boundary.
Can you just explain these diagrams?
Sure. Well, I think there was some confusion in proffering the third sheet in my primary evidence. So the first sheet essentially sets out in green what the Balkan location of the revised zone, if you like, or the recommended zone across the site. And from that we can see in the top left-hand corner McBride Street with a 4.5 metre setback, and in fact 4.5 metre setback as it applies across the southern boundary as well. At that point, if I may confuse you, I'll take you through the...
Well, hold on.
Yep.
So the top left-hand corner, the green is your revised rules.
Correct. Yep.
And so the top right-hand corner is that the existing, the local is the residential.
Correct.
Right.
Yep.
Now, have you considered whether there would be a difference if sites were amalgamated and got on one site?
Yes.
What would the difference be?
From the green.
Yeah.
Very little.
Okay. Why is that?
Because the Bolton location as it's set out extends across the internal boundaries.
Right. Okay. So that...
In answer to your question, in fact, it has almost been, the modelling has been completed on that basis. And that has provided an internal lane, if you like, where it would be anticipated that there would have to be some internal pedestrian and or vehicle access to the site.
Right.
Yep.
Yep. Okay. That's fine. And so if we go to the third sheet, what it shows here is where it's solid green, effectively an additional built form that could be achieved.
That's right. We're looking on the third sheet and on the top left, and it's important to note on the true residential boundary and southern that the red actually extends beyond the green in terms of an effect of shading or dominance that would be encountered above that residential boundary by the existing residential zone. But the green is obviously set within the red, which means that at least the neighbours on that boundary should enjoy a better or a larger amount of sunlight admission into their property.
Configuration of the development of these sites were to be rebuilt, and the fact that the back of the buildings would be presented in the Bride Street. Now, typically in these sorts of zones, you get deliveries, recycling bin, large bottle. I mean, I imagine it's not there quite for food, restaurant, paper use.
You know, I don't think necessarily...
How would that work out in terms of the music?
Yeah, I think it would work out okay. I refer to the northern or the local shopping centre zone to the north at least,
where we do have those type of activities, and they have been able to locate their heavens and all their necessary trade services internally on site, so they're at the back of the buildings, but the front is right around the entire site. So I guess it is following on a bit of the building would front out to the bus shelter. I guess there's an obvious sort of nexus there, but as Brett
and Jason have both pointed out, it won't be without its work, so to speak. But I wouldn't necessarily think that you, in designing the site overall, you would automatically preclude putting something that has an active frontage on McBride Street and not just a frontage that would service the bus shelter site.
No, I agree. That's not precluded. It's just that parking will have to come in and will be accessed off McBride, and that will take up a fair bit of space.
Yeah, and I guess, like, again, I would look to the local shopping centres open, how it's been designed to the north, where there is the internal courtyard, there is the servicing right around, and there's 1 3.5-4 metre vehicle crossing to access that entire area, which is somewhat larger than the subject site we're looking at. So I'm not saying it's necessarily be an easy design or an obvious design, but I think with some work it can be achieved.
Most of that area in the McBride Street, Frankton Road quadrant, if you like.
Yep.
That's quite old.
It is quite old. And admittedly, I think if they did it again, they'd make it a lot smaller.
Well, I was going to say, it probably doesn't meet the standards for parking, etc. anyway, does it?
The crossing would. And,
yes, but that's
and that. Standing in it, I would say that there's more than enough vehicle manoeuvring.
Mm. But that's across the road.
What's that?
Isn't that across the road?
It is across the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what I'm trying to suggest is that there wouldn't necessarily be an expansive number of vehicle crossings needed from the Bride Street. It would be more of a, as Chris has depicted on the Bolton location, keyhole access point. And the rest could, in fact, result with 4.5 metres setback in the building to be quite sympathetic to the residential area.
I think that's all my point there is there would also be the option of underground parking. That's not how the sites would be mounted. They'll play for us.
Is that a step out of money for us?
Is there just one other question I forgot to ask, or should I ask you first? Then you say you work for Clark 14 McDonald.
Yep.
And Mr. Hanson is there too. What is your relationship with Mr. Hanson in the workplace?
In terms of independence?
Is it an employee-employer relationship, or is it different from that?
Well, technically, on paper, it would.
Mm.
Yeah. But, I guess whenever we're asked to look at these things, I'd like to rely on a professional approach, and I think my summary, not summary, at least all of my evidence reflects that. And is not unnecessary or unduly biased by any relationship I have with Mr. Hanson. And I would note that it often becomes a difficulty in Queenstown, being a small community where it's not uncommon for me to be working for any number of people who are also clients, but not only have other relationships, and I think that's something we all just have to.
It's a small gene pool, isn't it?
Yeah,
but can I say one point to that is, like, obviously, providing more planning evidence is part of my submission moving forward. I'll back my preference, and what I've noted in that evidence is that I'm actually happy with the low density, so that our local commercial shopping zone, whereas Mr. Geddes has actually proposed an additional restriction on the height. From 10 metres to 8 metres, but right view as a landowner is not that view as the years. He doesn't actually agree with that. So I think that probably is another component of you as well.
I just want that to be clear because it was alluded to but it wasn't explicit. And yes. Yeah, this is, and I just want to clarify that. Did you have anything? No. Nothing else?
No, I guess not. All right, well, that's the, all of the evidence for the submitter. Thank you. So, thank you for your time. Finished up earlier than allocated, so we have some time to read.
Well, I'm pleased that we suggested that Mr. Gibbons and Mr. Hanson be heard together because originally it was going to be 2 days set aside for
wondering more questions.
If you just happen to have any questions that you thought Mr. Hanson might...
I'll just check with my fellow commissioners. I don't have any Hanson, I have noted, but...
Hang on, I just need more cheap. I've just closed this evidence after all that. No, just that I'm just going to vote on. Oh, yes. Mm. Good. I didn't have any questions.
Well, I'll say a little something.